When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show.
The following program is presented for entertainment purposes. WCHQ does not necessarily endorse the ideas presented.
Fearscape is a program that explores the legends and lore around many creepy and scary things. Information is researched and presented in an entertainment fashion. It is presented based off of what we found. Legends have a way of changing over time, so...
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Fearscape! Yes, scary Christmas, everybody. Scary Christmas here on 100.9 FM WCHQ, as well as the Destination Nation Network, DNN. We have a really cool episode we're going to get to, but let's do some intros. My name is Stefan Gearhart, as usual, your host for Fearscape, joined as always by the pine-smellingly good co-host of mine, Josh Rutledge.
I do enjoy those pine air fresheners.
You do. You smell just like Christmas.
Well,
like
well, if well,
I
thank
get,
you.
If I get to find well most people's ideas of Christmas because mine was tragic, but no, not really.
Well, but I did rip the pine scented air freshener in half.
Oh.
Before I spread it, so it's a little tragic.
So you that's what you use for your deodorant and
right.
stuff too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I thought so.
Actually, I just hang them in my pit.
Oh god, your hair is very very long, very very long. I really dig that. But yeah, if you can hear the laughter here, we are joined by two incredible guests, two of my best friends in the whole world, and also hosts with me with the other podcast I run called Unhappy Campers are the other two head counselors of Unhappy Campers. We've got Lance Wayne and Ben Hagen.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Ben, thank you for coming on. Ben also runs Improv 502, and which
you.
I'm on the board, and I produce that. It's also the sponsor of Unhappy Campers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
We produce our sponsor our own sales.
Right, and then Lance Wayne, this is the man with no name.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
This is the man with no name.
My parents hated me that much. They still do, to this day.
They do. But yeah, we're going to be talking, since it's Christmas, we're going to be talking about our favorite horrific thing at Christmas, which is Krampus. We're going to be talking about Krampus, and do we even got some other... we got some other companions and some other things like that we're going to talk about. Horrific Christmas things. But, you know, recently there's been a slew of Krampus horror movies, which is why we thought it'd be cool to bring you guys on as well so we can kind of tie in our two podcasts together for fun. But before we get to that, we need to get into some spooky news. So this week's spooky news comes from 12news.com, I believe out of Arizona, which says green fireball seen streaking across Arizona sky. This was back about a week or two ago. But I'm just now bringing this up. It basically says, the article starts out by saying, in the latest installment of strange sky stuff happening in Arizona, we bring you a green fireball. And it is true. We've covered so many things. The Phoenix Lights we talked about, and that's just one of many things that they're constantly seeing
stuff. Are we sure it wasn't Ryan Reynolds as... The Green Lantern,
probably.
Oh, God.
Probably.
We should all run for our lives.
I love that movie.
I do, too. Thank you very much.
Oh,
boom.
No. That's the real horror story.
The only thing I didn't like was the parallax.
Oh, the villain.
Parallax?
Yeah, I didn't like the cloud thing because they had already done that in the Fantastic Four movie, which I already didn't like Galactus being a cloud.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, eh, just give me parallax.
I didn't like the physical embodiment of them through that.
I got over that real quick.
Oh, how?
Anyways, Arizona is no stranger to the strange sky stuff, and ever since those infamous Phoenix lights, social media explodes anytime there's something peculiar in the sky. Now, this green flash in the video makes this seem alien-like or something straight out of the new Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer. But it just seems to appear to be a meteor. Are you bummed? You shouldn't be. Because it's still really cool. We like to cover some science stuff. So the video of the phenomenon was tweeted out by Dr. Lucille LaCour, a planetary scientist at the Planetary Science Institute in Tucson. She described the green glowing object as a fireball near Phoenix that was captured on her rooftop camera in Tucson. She hashtagged the tweet with shooting star. And you can see the video if you go to her her tweet there. It's, what is that? At C-A-L-L-I-C-H-O-R-E is her Twitter name there. And it says that the fireball is a term used to describe a very bright meteor. This struck across there, like we said. In fact, it makes me think of a couple years back, we were out doing a danger run. Me and my friend Parker and my little brother Dustin and a bunch of us. And all of a sudden, there was this blue, I mean, just like Smurf blue streak in the sky. And it was a big blue fireball. And we were on danger run, so we're already like scared. We're telling ghost stories, and everyone's just screaming. We're like, what is that? And then, of course, in the news, it was all over the news that it was a meteorite. So this is similar. I mean, it even says a lot of fireballs appear green, so it's not unusual. So, yeah, you never know what you're going to see.
Gas is burned at different colors.
Right, and depending on what's in it. Is it strontium, right? Yeah. You know? So it could be anything like that, depending on what the meteor is made up of. But still spooky, because what if it's not?
What if that's just, you know, the whole weather balloon explanation,
right?
Swamp gas.
Yep. I mean, just, you know, what did they say? It was late night, late night test flights or whatever for the Phoenix lights. Get out of here. Get out of here. That stuff was real, and that's got my dad on it. I'm telling you, he's there. That is spooky news. All right, we're going to move right into creepy catch up.
Creepy catch up. Y'all, it's creepy.
This is where we talk about things that have happened to us recently. If we've had any spooky experiences or we've seen any strange lights or anything like that. I haven't had anything happen this week, and I don't think, Lance, I think I asked you guys ahead of time. I don't think you had anything.
Oh, does it have to be this week?
Well, just recently. Recently for you guys, you got more. But I mean, unless you got something, I have nothing. So we'll start with Josh. I know you said you got something. So
yeah, so I've got like a like a time hole. So I watched the other day the new Hellboy movie from the one that was recently
the
released.
One with the dude from Stranger Things,
David Harbour.
Yeah. So the whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm like, I've seen this before. Like, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen in the scene, but I've never seen it before.
It wasn't similar to... I haven't seen it yet, so it's not similar to the other movie. And you haven't read the comics?
Nope.
Okay, then.
So, for you guys that don't know, I have an eidetic memory, so I remember everything that I see. And so I couldn't place it anywhere that I've... Like, I didn't go to the theater and see it. I haven't rented it and watched it. I've never seen the movie yet. When I was watching it, I was like, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And I knew everything that was going to happen.
As my dad would say, I could write these things.
So maybe it was. It was just, you know, like a predictive, you know, like the story kind of played out that way. I don't know. But it was like I had seen it before, but I haven't seen it before.
Maybe you're picking up on another dimension, dimensional self.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's my creepy kitchen.
You think the film is just that predictable?
Well, a lot of films are predictable.
They really are.
Especially if you have an idiotic memory or whatever.
An idiotic memory. I've got one of those. I'm a clairvoyant.
Oh, you're so tiny.
My uncle killed a guy.
Recently?
No, my uncle's never killed a guy. I just wanted you guys to like me.
Why would that make us like you? It makes me like, oh, you want to come to my family function? No.
I don't even want to go to my family function.
Though we've had Keith Age on twice, and he shot a psychic. True story.
That's awesome. Is it my turn?
Yep.
All right. Growing up, you've actually been to this house, Stefan. My family's not there anymore, but we would, things would happen in
that
the
house. Was scary as crap. Let me tell you, you guys were all sleeping upstairs, and I was sleeping downstairs by myself, and it was cold, and I was watching
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And I was so scared, man, in that stupid house.
But no, like, things would happen. Like, I remember one time I was asleep, and I got woken up by this, like, little Nerf ball hitting me in the head, and there was nobody in the room. Mm. And I would think it was my sister's, but they've already moved out by then. So, and
it wasn't stored on a shelf above your bed?
No.
Okay.
Like, I fell asleep on the couch. There's nothing above me. And something hits me in the head. I wake up, and the ball is rolling away. But my mom... my mom, she was, sorry, I got all sentimental.
I thought you were like, was she my mom?
No.
Wait a minute. Was my dad in drag?
But my mom was, talking about, this person that would be in the house, a spirit, and I can't remember the name, but she would talk about them and she would say their name. And we're all like, okay, mom. My mom was a big, like, pothead and stuff like that. I'm like,
you've been hitting the sauce.
Yeah, way to go, mom. And then our front porch, we had these makeshift steps to get up to the porch. And one time we were, one of them was
so
loose.
So makeshift, so it was like a garbage can, it was a cat.
No, it was like a big, it was like
old PC. Right. Like,
it was like, watch a, it, was like a, it was like a big slab of like.
Watch that second step, it squeaks.
One day, one of them was shifting. So we wanted to make sure that nobody would fall. So we moved it, and it was actually a tombstone.
Were the steps already there when you guys moved in?
Yes.
Okay, so these were, because I was like, what is your dad doing grabbing a tombstone?
No, but there was a tombstone, and the name on the tombstone was the name my mom has been saying.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it makes you wonder if it came from the property.
We have no doubt she's buried under the house.
That's crazy.
We have no doubt.
That is... got somebody buried under my house.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It's the country. Like, it was a flat space. They built it, and they probably knocked over the tombstone because this is the only place they could build it.
And
used it as a step.
Hey, Danny, we ran out of money for these steps. Well, I got a cat, a milk crate, and a tombstone.
But, yeah, that's my creepy story.
Man, that was really good. I got another one. There's this little demon that follows me around.
Her name is Sam?
No. She comes up to your daughter! Oh,
that's your daughter. You can't do that.
The one that calls me daddy?
Yeah.
And is always hitting me with stuff?
Yeah. That could also be Sam. We would love to have you guys come on sometime and do a full Getting Spooky with us, sharing your ghost stories.
Yes, please.
But
I have so many.
Yes,
I really do. I really do.
So, but yeah, that was Creepy Ketchup. Let's move in to Scary Christmas, guys. Yay. We got to move to Scary Christmas because it's Krampus time. Krampus knocked.
It's Krampus.
My brother lives in Germany, and so of course he sent me like pictures of he's in Mannheim and their celebration of Krampus knocked. And
I thought you said he sent you pictures of Krampus. Like,
no, that's my Grampus. That's different.
Grampus.
That's what we Germans call grandpa is Krampus.
That was a good one.
You didn't know that. All right, Josh.
The best.
Josh.
Wow.
This is why I wanted these guys on here. All right, Josh, what do we got?
All right. Krampus or Krampus, depending on what part of the country
or
you're
Krampus,
from.
Right? Yeah. Or Krampus, where it's like the guy that comes and crimps your hair.
Who crimps your hair?
That's why you're the best.
I've never had that service done before.
Well, that's because you have no hair.
You look nice with a Jerry curl or something.
You just got,
it's just so just got
pine trees hanging from your pit hair.
That's where all the hair is. This is armpit.
Boy, you look cute as hell.
Yeah, actually, I have had my armpit hair crimped before, so there you go.
There you go.
It's all wavy. Love this guy, man.
That's awesome.
All right, so the kind of origin of Krampus is basically in Central European folklore.
Folklore? So this is about silverware.
All right, so in Central European folklore, Krampus is a horned, anthropomorphic.
There you go.
There you go. Big words. Yeah, it's like a $5 word, right?
Yep. Can't play that one on Scrabble. It's too big.
There's not enough letters in the bag. Figure described as a half goat, half demon.
Woo, close to the goat man of Pope Lick, except for half man, half demon.
Well, it's, yeah.
I mean, half man, half goat.
Shout out to Goat Man. Underneath the bridge.
Who, during the Christmas season, punishes children who have misbehaved.
Which I already like this concept more way than, like, getting a lump of coal. Because, like, especially, like, I was wondering if it was, like, the coal industry that pushed this idea. Because it's like, hey, well, at least you'll be able to help your family stay warm.
Well, like, yeah. Actually, I don't think I included it in the research, but there is a story that says that one of the Santa Claus's companions, which we'll get into later, delivers the coal to tell Krampus that he needs to visit that child.
Oh.
So it's like you get a lump of coal, you're going to get a visit from Krampus.
Yeah. Oh, see, I like that better. But yeah, I would have been more scared of Krampus than I would have, oh, here's a piece of coal. I guess I could use it to go draw on the sidewalk.
Speaking as a parent, you know, we got it all wrong because, you know, this misconception of you bring your children up, you know, with love.
That is a misconception. Oh,
and, you know,
more.
For the unconditional love and, you know, stuff like that. No, you rule your children by fear. That is how you raise a child.
God.
Well, I would like to say that is a little bit probably a better, because when you think about it, if you don't behave at Christmas time, what is your punishment? Santa may not bring you a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So you might not get a gift. What if your punishment was you're going to get visited by a half man, half goat, half demon?
Who's going to drag you to hell. Yeah. Or eat you. One or the other.
You know, instead of Elf on the Shelf, there needs to be, you know, Krampus on a shelf. And I guarantee you're going to listen to
Krampus on
him.
Your rumpus, right? Am I right, guys?
I was trying to.
Am I right?
Oh, that's why you're the best.
Krampus in your campus. It's for college kids.
Yeah, exactly. It's
Krampus on your.
Yep.
You were saying.
So we got this this guy who basically goes around and then the kids who don't get presents get a beating, basically.
Yeah. Or eaten.
Yeah, so the
eaten and eaten.
Krampus is one of the companions of St. Nicholas, and several regions, including Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Hungary or Hungary, depending on how you feel.
Right, and we know St. Nick is Santa Claus. The original idea of Santa Claus comes from St. Nick's, who delivers kids.
Like
good kids, gifts.
Oh, yeah.
No, I grew up Catholic, so we celebrated St. Nicholas's Day. It's I forget which day it is, but we used to have to, what it was he would tell the people to put your shoes out, and he would fill it with food and gifts and things like that. And so we would put our shoes out, and we would get chocolate, but my dad never did it, and I always thought I was bad.
So in these areas, the Christmas time is actually celebrated December 5th and 6th. So 5th is the night when Krampus comes.
Krampus
6th is Christmas Day when Santa comes.
Right.
So
that is so...
Right, but it got moved because of Yule, because the Catholic Church wanted to try to steal the pagan holiday and try to merge it together to make them think they were worshiping the same thing, so they moved Christmas to December 25th.
Yep. We get it. Christians are bad, pagans are good, Stefan.
We got it.
I've heard it my entire time I've known you.
Well, I heard you were becoming a Satanist, so...
Only when I've been drinking.
Yeah, so actually, folklorists and anthropologists... That word.
Anthropologist?
Dr. Brennan on the show Bones has postulated that it has pre-Christian origins.
There's so many words in that. I'm just like, what?
How do you expect me to process this?
I'm still trying to figure out the first word.
So they're saying that Krampus was around even before St. Nick.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep, basically.
For Jesus.
For Jesus, even!
Well, it's... Never mind. I don't want to...
So probably Gaelic...
Yeah.
Garlic?
Because Germany would have been Gaul. So.
Gaelic.
Celtic.
Yep.
All right. Celery? So the history of the Krampus figure, or Krampus, excuse me, I keep mispronouncing it.
I don't think there's a proper way.
Well, probably in those areas it would be Kromp.
Yeah.
To Kromp.
Too cramp, too furious.
All right,
we've made it through a paragraph, guys. Yeah.
That's why you're the best.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh man, thank you, Krampus.
The Alpine Traditions, a brief article discussing the figure, published in 1958 by Maurice Bruce. There seems to be little doubt as to his true identity, for in no other form is the full regalia of the horned god of the witches so preserved. The birch, apart from its phallic significance, may have a connection with the initiation rites of certain witch covens, rites which entailed binding and scourging. Okay, it's a scourge, I think. As a form of mock death, the chains would have been introduced in a Christian attempt to bind the devil, but again, they could be a remnant of pagan initiation.
As a pagan, I will say a lot of that is part of some traditions. Even the binding and scourging and things like that, those are known to be part of Alexandrian traditions and some things like that. So it was a way to kind of take away from that and turn it into a devil worship.
Yeah.
Right.
So also in a little bit later in 1975, this anthropologist, John J. Honigman.
I was going to come in with that. Glad somebody said.
Here, I got this one. So John J. Honigman wrote that the St. Nicholas festival we are describing incorporates cultural elements widely distributed in Europe, in some cases going back to pre-Christian times. St. Nicholas himself became popular in Germany around the 11th century. The feast dedicated to this patron of children is only one winter occasion in which children are the objects of special attention, others being Martinmas in the Feast of the Holy Innocents and New Year's Day. Masked devils acting boisterously and making nuisances of themselves are known in Germany since at least the 6th century, while animal-masked devils combining dreadful comic antics appeared in medieval church plays. A large literature, much of it by European folklorists, bears on these subjects. Austrians in the community we studied are quite aware of heathen elements being blended with Christian elements in the St. Nicholas customs and in other traditional winter ceremonies. They believe Krampus derives from a pagan supernatural who was assimilated to the Christian devil.
So there you go.
Yeah. Heathens was a race of people that practiced pagan practices, which is why you get called a heathen, because they were a very poor group of people, which is also where that term fits into it.
Well, did not know that.
I do, because my dad called me a heathen my whole life, and then I looked it up one day.
You heathen?
Yep, that's about right.
All right, so the Krampus figures persisted, and by the 17th century, Krampus had become incorporated into Christian winter celebrations by pairing Krampus with Saint Nikolai. Countries of the former Habsburg Empire have largely borrowed the tradition of Krampus, accompanying Saint Nicholas on 5th December from Austria. So in recent years, the myth that Krampus was the son of Hel, Norse goddess of the underworld, has been popularized on the internet, even appearing in articles in National Geographic and Smithsonian Magazine.
Those guys are legit.
I saw those articles. I didn't like them. However,
I'll read them off to you now with my idiosyncratic memory.
Trouble in paradise, people.
Did you say idiosyncratic Vatican memory?
I don't know.
Okay.
You should remember why you asked us.
However, this connection is likely the invention of the American fantasy artist and author Gerald Brom, whose 2012 novel Krampus the Yule Lord features Krampus as the main protagonist. The same idea also appeared shortly afterwards in two online games by the Norwegian games producer Funcom. So, basically it's saying that the whole thing of Krampus being the son of Hel is Bull Harkey.
That, well, it makes sense to me because the very first movie that came out for Krampus came out in 2013. It was a direct-to-video, so I wonder if that was inspired by that book. Like, that's kind of, because that's when it sets off. 2013 hits, and then there's like
15 movies.
Yeah.
When did The League, the television show, they had an episode where Taco played Krampus.
Yes.
And then after that is when I saw the boom of all the movies. Yeah. So I give like a lot of credit to that show. Because I really never saw anything about him.
So that would have been 2012.
Yeah.
When he was Krampus in, Carol.
And yep. Krampus made an appearance in the show Grimm.
He did. Played by Derek Mears.
Yep, I remember Jason. That. It was in some cartoons as well, of course, like Venture Brothers and Scooby-Doo and Hotel Transylvania and stuff. But
that was like when I was told what we were going to be talking about, I automatically thought of The League because that's the first time I ever heard of it.
I think Grimm for me, it was either Grimm or Supernatural because I know he was also in a third season of Supernatural. So it was either then or Grimm. I don't remember which one made me go, oh.
The 2015 film for me because... Yeah. I mean, I'd heard about it, when the time frame you all are talking about is probably when it started to pick up steam, because that's when I started seeing more stuff on the internet about Krampus, and I started getting interested in this, because I'd never heard about him, and me being a hater of Christmas and a lover of monsters,
bah humbug.
Yeah, but I was like, man, this is really cool. And then I heard, oh, they're making Universal's making a film of this. And then I always connected with that film, the best one.
Yeah. So basically, everybody liked Krampus up until 1932, when in an election in Austria they said Krampus is banned.
Oh man.
And so it went away. And actually, in the 1950s, the government distributed pamphlets titled Krampus is an Evil Man.
Krampus!
Like, you really need a pamphlet to tell you that this creature is evil. Mm-hmm. You really need somebody to...
Is he, though, or is he just doing his job?
He's just misunderstood.
Yeah. It's like, is Frankenstein's monster evil?
No.
No.
There you go.
Is Freddy Krueger evil?
Yes.
Yes.
But
you can't dispute that.
I know.
You know, the whole thing about the the assimilation of Krampus into the Christian beliefs and all that kind of stuff, it kind of makes sense that they would try to, I don't know, get people from not focusing so much on Krampus and focusing more on St. Nicholas and the Christian side and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's like there's a, if you'll remember, VeggieTales back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
that
yeah.
song about the bunny that they did, and it was all about this guy who worshipped the bunny, and it was this great song. Well, all the kids were singing the song. It was like, the bunny, ooh, I love the bunny. I don't love my mom or my dad, just the bunny. And kids are singing this song, and parents were getting mad. But it's because that was the bad guy's song. So in later editions, they had to rewrite it.
To take that line out.
To take the lines out that talked about loving... this bunny thing. More than God and parents and stuff.
Yeah. It's like, silly. I mean, did these people not realize that children feared this creature? You know, they weren't celebrating him.
Well, yeah, but when Christmas time, you shouldn't have fear. You should be embracing the spirit of Christmas.
Which is what every... since Christmas Carol,
Bunch of bull.
Well, I'm not disputing that, but that's why, yeah.
I mean,
well,
Christmas Carol popularized that idea of you should be good and generous and happy. And
I mean, but let's be honest, Christmas Carol's a little frightening, too.
It is. Ghost, it's a ghost
Christmas,
story.
Yeah, Ghost of Christmas Future.
Well,
whatever.
And around this time, actually in the 50s and stuff, there were pretty common secular like greeting cards featuring Krampus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen a couple of them.
So it's like, Krampus is on there and he's like, have a scary Christmas and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
now it's just in S&M circles because he's got his whip and all that stuff. Anyway, so what's he look like, John?
I needed to be clean for this program.
He knew he needed binded and scourged.
So the appearance, he is hairy, usually brown or black. Has cloven hooves and horns of a goat. His long, pointed tongue lolls out, and he has fangs. Also saw another description or even an image. He has 1 foot that's
human
hooved and 1 foot that's human.
Yeah, I saw
that's
too.
An imbalance.
Yeah.
It's asymmetrical, you know.
His back has to kill him.
That's very the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. It must be hard buying shoes.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's to blame, Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. Horseshoes and regular shoes.
Yeah. Thanks for elaborating on that.
You're welcome.
This is a really quality
like,
show.
Does he have to buy both shoes?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always wondered that about someone that only has one leg. It's like, do you guys have to buy both shoes?
Yeah, I guess you do. Yeah.
And I feel like I worked at Shoe Carnival for a while, and I feel like we had something like that happen, and we're like, nah, you have to buy both.
I mean, I'm sure that when they sell them in pairs, what are you going to do with the other one?
Yeah, I don't know. Give display. It to the guy that comes in that has the other.
Yeah,
you know, what's the likelihood of that happening?
Yes, thank you. A display, exactly.
Okay.
Ooh,
you're
that's why
welcome.
We keep Ben around.
All these great ideas,
yeah.
bubbling out. So Krampus carries chains, thought to symbolize the binding of the devil by the Christian church.
Also Hellraiser.
Yeah, I've never thought of that.
He thrashes the chains for dramatic effect.
Chick, 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 chick. Hey, y'all. I'm coming to get you. Chick, 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 chick.
You made bad.
Ching, 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 ching. Look out, y'all.
You sound like the creepy guy off of Family Guy.
Yeah.
We're going to drag you around this building, Freddy Krueger. We're going to attach you to the chain. That's off the new one, the remake.
So what's interesting is that Krampus carries chains and Marley. The
oh, yeah.
Marley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mankind should have been my business. Mick Foley?
Yeah.
That was stupid. Edit that out.
No.
So the chains are sometimes accompanied with bells of various sizes.
So that we can be Christmassy.
Well, or so we can hear him coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he wants still to give you fear. A fighting chance.
Yeah,
well, it could also, hey, in a way, it could also be tricking the children into thinking it's Santa Claus.
Ooh.
Yeah. It could also, you know, so a lot of the fear is the building up to the fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just that you hear, you know, you got a lump of coal, you know Krampus is coming, you hear the chains, you hear the bells, you know, it's like... You know, what are you going to do? Run and hide, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, like a you know.
So basically
maybe.
What he's saying is that we need to get, like, a pit bull and put a chain around, like, a chain leash around it and some bells and put it at some German guy's house, like on Krampus Knocked.
Why does it have to be a pit bull?
Because they got a big neck.
Well, but that's, I mean, that's really... But- bad for all
that's really derogatory
like
that's
not
I just was a fat
yeah,
neck.
I really want to know why a,
yeah why a
dog?
Pit bull
they got a good bark
but
I mean if I put a chihuahua there its head's just gonna drag on the ground
I can't even with you,
you need
right
a
now
thick neck
you know, they
beast.
Get a bad rap
they do
you're not helping
I like
exactly
them.
Well, yeah,
well then why are you giving them crap
I'm not
why are you giving
this
them crap?
Is why I want to use them.
That's true. You can adopt a lot of them and just terrorize
yeah. Terrorize Germantown
yeah.
and Schnitzelburg.
Yeah, so on
make
from that.
Make me want to puke.
Of more pagan origins are the rutin, or the bundles of birch branches that Krampus carries with him. He occasionally swats children.
Ah, the original switch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, were you ever told to go out and pick a switch off the tree?
I'm from the city, so no, I never did, but I knew about it.
They didn't have trees in the city?
My parents still make me do it.
I believe that.
So one time my dad told my brother to go pick a switch off the tree. He came back with a big jid. He came back with a branch like 3 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, if I'm going to get beat with something, I don't want it to, you know, at least when he swings this, it won't make as much contact, I guess. I don't know. Switches hurt really bad if you ever got
yeah,
hit.
They always say don't get the small ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, the small ones hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the branches are replaced with a whip in some representations. Sometimes Krampus appears with a sack or a basket strapped to his back. This is to cart off evil children for drowning, eating, or transport to hell. Yeah. And if you see a guy with horns, one hoof foot, with a backpack on, just go ahead and walk the other direction.
You might
obviously,
yeah.
Obviously, you've never been underneath the overpass.
Like, or the Bardstown on Saturday night during karaoke.
You hear that, Skylin? He's coming for you.
So some of the older versions make mention of naughty children being put in a bag and taken away.
Yeah.
This quality...
In fact, yeah, the Funko Pop I just got from my friend Mary Taylor. She got me Krampus. And this is why I always tell Lance, take your stuff out of your box because you never see what's behind it. When you turn it around on the back is this really great sack, and it's got a kid kind of sticking his head out of it. And it's really cool, and you'd never have noticed.
Well, I'm going to get the Hot Topic Special Edition one that comes with the, he's wearing like a red Christmassy hood, and the basket's in the front. With the child coming out
of it. Well, that's a baby Bjorn. That's not a basket.
This is my baby. Look
that's
at my baby.
That's hipster Krampus. His name is Kramp.
You can't let me have anything.
No.
So, the Feast of St. Nicholas, or Krampusnacht, celebrated...
Sorry.
Apparently, me speaking German is funny.
It was a funny word. I feel bad now. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, y'all eating some of them Krampus snacks?
It sounds like stuff from my hometown. Like,
quit bogarting the Krampus snacks.
Great googly boogly. Give me some of them Krampus snacks.
Is that like a Scooby snack?
Yes. It is. But it's made of blood and children.
Mmm, tasty. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You went there. Okay.
I did.
So, he went there. Oh, God, you should hear this guy.
On the preceding evening of 5th December, Krampus Night, or Krampus Knocked.
The wicked hairy devil of the
year. Jerry Neuenschwander from college, Ben. That was the wicked hairy devil.
On the street, sometimes accompanied St. Nicholas and sometimes on his own. Krampus visits homes and businesses. He doesn't discriminate.
Not here in the United States, or Trump would have been done a long time ago, man. Just his whole back is just filled with Krampus whips. Like, so why are you looking at me? Okay.
So the saint usually appears in the Eastern rite vestments of a bishop, and he carries a golden ceremonial staff. Unlike Northern American versions of Santa Claus.
Oh, Santa.
Oh, Santa.
Something about Santa Claus.
Hello, my little Wiener Schnitzel, Santi. Oh, do you need to poo-poo? Please, I need to go home.
No, TC.
So these celebrations, St. Nicholas concerns himself with only with the good children, while Krampus is responsible for the bad. Nicholas dispenses gifts while Krampus supplies coal and the rutin bundles. So this is one like where I talked about before, where he was there because of the coal. This is one where he actually gives the coal
gives
out.
Gives the coal out, and you still get whooped.
Yeah, so.
Gosh!
That's horrible.
He really knows how to stick it to a guy, doesn't he?
What about Parktenlof?
Oh, Parktenlof! Oh! Oh, yeah! Be still, my beeping nip.
Go ahead.
Yeah, don't really know where all this is coming from. But
I don't either.
I'm so tired.
He's so pumped about Krampus.
Yeah.
So Parktenlof.
Yeah.
Oh,
Parktenlof.
Is a seasonal play that spread throughout the Alpine regions, was known as the Nikolaspiel.
Nikolaspiel.
There you go.
Nikolaspiel.
Or the Nicholas play in English. Inspired by a Paradise Plays, which focused on Adam and Eve's encounter with the tempter, the Nicholas Plays features competition for the human souls and played on the question of morality.
Oh, wow.
In these Nicholas Plays, St. Nicholas would reward children for scholarly efforts rather than for good behavior. This is the theme that grew in Alpine regions where the Roman Catholic Church had significant influence.
And also why Switzerland is filled with incredibly smart people. Because they were scared to death they didn't do scholarly pursuits.
They would die.
So there were already established pagan traditions in the Alpine regions that became intertwined with the Catholicism. People would masquerade as a devilish figure known as Pert, a two-legged humanoid goat with a giraffe-like neck, wearing animal furs. People wore costumes and marched in processions known as Perktenlofs, which are regarded as early form of the Krampus runs. So Perktenlofs were looked at with the suspicion by the Catholic Church and banned by some civil authorities.
Of course.
Due to sparse population and rugged environments within the Alpine region, the ban was not effective or easily enforced, rendering the ban useless. Eventually, the Perktenlof, inspired by the Nicholas plays, introduced St. Nicholas in his set of good morals. The Perkt transformed into what is now known as the Krampus and was made to be subjected to St. Nicholas's will.
Interesting. So the pagan element is slave to the Christian element. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm also picking up something else. It seemed like, if not equal, almost Krampus back in the day almost out, you know, kind of
outshined.
Outshined. Yeah. Santa Cruz.
Well, even if we say that it does have pre-Christian origins, then it had been around much longer.
Yeah. And you know, and then once you know. The early Christians came along or whatever, was like, no, this is fun, so it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
They were like...
Well, they did the same thing in the Celtic lands with the horned god and Pan and things like that, yeah. And turning all those aspects into the devil. And
right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? So you come in, you really want people to follow Christianity. You tell them that all the things they believe in are bad. But you somehow incorporate what they believe in into the Christian faith.
Yeah, in fact, there's a lot of saint celebrations that the saints weren't actual real saints. They were actually just pagan gods. For example, St. Brigid's Day in Ireland is actually based off of Brigitte, which is a goddess there. Hmm. And they just changed it to Brigid, so they made it more, Italian, I guess, and made that a saint day to celebrate and had all the same aspects. The celebration is still the same. They just added elements of Christianity into it. And St. Brigid's Day still has this element that's from the pagan tradition where you hang these... wheat crosses on the door, but it's a very specific type of cross. And so, of course, the Christians were like, well, this is perfect. It's already kind of a cross, right? And so they turned that into St. Brigid's Day and all kinds of crazy stuff like that.
Appropriation.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
So this next thing is Krampuslauf. It is customary to offer Krampus schnapps.
Yeah.
Which is a strong distilled fruit brandy. These runs... you don't get the runs from the schnapps. include Perchten, similarly wild pagan spirits of Germanic folklore, and sometimes female in representation. Although the Perchten are properly associated with the period between winter and solstice and 6th of January.
So the 12 days of Christmas, essentially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. The Krampuskarten. Europeans have been exchanging greeting cards featuring Krampus since the 1800s. Sometimes introduced with Glüb von Krampus. I think he was in The Despicable Me.
Oh, I was thinking Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Yeah, Glüb von Krampus, don't get in the chocolate.
I love your chocolate, y'all.
The cards usually have humorous rhymes and poems. Krampus is often featured looming menacingly over children. He is also shown as having one human foot and one cloven foot. Or hoof, I guess. In some, Krampus has sexual overtones. He is pictured pursuing buxom women.
Oh, yeah.
Never. Well, that was all of the 1800s Europe.
What's that piece of garment that women would wear?
Garter?
No, it's not like they wear it up top and underneath their dresses and
yeah.
stuff.
What's that called?
Corset.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I've never been.
Thank God you've got that idiosyncratic memory, Ben.
Well,
I love corsets. Leave me alone. Well,
the reason I didn't remember was because I've never been with a woman.
Oh, Uncle Greg.
What? Greg's been with many women.
That's not what I mean.
So, Krampus in the cards has changed. Older versions have a more frightening Krampus, while modern versions have a cuter, more Cupid-like creature.
Aww.
Krampus has also adorned postcards and candy containers.
Yeah, I want. I would love to collect some of those old ones from the 1800s and stuff. That'd be neat to kind of have some of those.
Well, the other day I actually came across on the internet... you know, like the typical, you get them at the dollar store.
Don't keep going.
But, you know, you come across some of the little chocolate Santas and the aluminum foil, you know, yeah. wrapping or whatever. Well, they have ones of those of Krampus. Same
really?
Exact thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I thought those looked kind of cool.
Sorry, whenever you speak, I don't know if you're going to be serious or not. So.
Oh, it's. I never know if I'm going to be serious or not, to be completely honest with you.
But, yeah, so we got some regional variations here. In Styria, the rootin' bundles are presented by Krampus to families. The twigs are painted gold and displayed year-round in the house, a reminder to any children who has temporarily forgotten Krampus.
That's like fraternities that hang the
the paddle
on the
yeah.
wall.
Yeah.
In smaller, more isolated villages, the figure has other beastly companions, such as the antlered wild man, and St. Nicholas is nowhere to be seen.
Good.
These Styrian companions of Krampus are called Shabmanner Reuben. I guess that's what I'm going to go with. A toned-down version of Krampus is part of the popular Christmas markets in the Austrian urban centers, like Salzburg. In these more tourist-friendly interpretations, Krampus is more humorous than fearsome. In Cave del Pradel, in northern part of Udine province in Italy, an annual Krampus festival is held in early December, just before the sun sets. The Krampus come out from an old cave and chase children, boys, but also adults, punishing them with strokes to the legs. To satisfy the anger, the children and young people must recite a prayer.
It's not messed up at all.
No.
No.
It's just good old-fashioned fun.
It just sounds like a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So there is actually, in the U.S., there's the Dallas Krampus Society Walk, I guess.
Yeah, that's what you're starting to see a lot more of, are these walks and actual runs as well. Like, you know,
they had one down at the Highlands mm-hmm. last year, didn't they? Yep. I don't know if they had it this year, though.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
Yeah.
So the similar figures are recorded in neighboring areas with Austria, Bartel, Nicola Bartel, Will Bartel. A lot of use of the word Bartel.
Also known as Bartles and James.
Oh, that's why you're the best.
Are used in the southern part of the country. In most parts of Slovenia, whose culture was greatly affected by Austrian culture, Krampus is called Perkulj. That looks good. Is one of the companions of Miklav, the Slavonian form of St. Nicholas. In many parts of Croatia, Krampus is described as a devil wearing a cloth sack around his waist and chains around his neck, ankles, and wrists. As a part of the tradition, when a child receives a gift from St. Nicholas, he is given a golden branch to present his good deeds throughout the year. However, if the child was misbehaving, Krampus will take the gifts for himself and leave only a silver branch to represent the child's bad acts.
I love that idea. I'm in full motion of that idea.
So you just take the gifts and leave a branch instead?
Yes. Even though I wouldn't want any of my child's toys because they're all JoJo Siwa and...
Go.
So, the companions of Krampus.
Yes, this is what I wanted to get to, because so far it seemed like Krampus is just St. Nicholas's companion.
Yeah.
So this is actually, so Krampus is considered a companion of St. Nicholas. So all these folks are kind of listed out as the companions of St. Nicholas and Krampus, I guess. So you have the old woman, and actually these first two were originally listed as two different things. But in doing some research and some reading, I'm actually thinking that they're one. So you have the old woman, and I've accompanied that with Perkta. In some descriptions, Perkta has two forms. She may appear either as a beautiful and white as snow like her name, or as elderly and haggard. And that's why I included them together as one companion. So in many old descriptions, Perkta had one large foot, sometimes called a goose foot or swan foot. Grimm, the same as Grimm tales and stuff, thought the strange foot symbolized her being a higher being who could shapeshift into animal form. He noticed that Bertha with a strange foot exists in many languages, Middle German, French, Latin, Italian, and there's even an epic poem in the Italian area. Hmm. It is apparently a swan maiden's foot, which, as a mark of her higher nature, she cannot lay aside. And at the same time, the spinning woman's playfoot that worked the treadle. So, actually, in some other reading, and Stefan, I was going to ask you about this, it says that Perkta is a pagan goddess, like an ancient pagan goddess. And I just wondered if you...
Not one I've ever heard of.
Hmm. Well,
there's a bazillion of them.
If I can add a little bit in here, there's actually like a big thing about her that I was actually looking up yesterday that that I didn't see in here. But from what I gathered of Perkta, or the old woman,
mm-hmm.
was you know, if you're good, she'll leave. Kind of like what you were saying, Stefan. She'll leave you, like, money and the shoes or candy or stuff like that.
You know what? Yes, I do know about this.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you're naughty, she cuts your stomach open and fills, I believe it's your liver, with rocks, garbage, and sticks.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So
I do know her because she's also known as Berta, which I had mentioned to you, Mother Berta.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a whole book of, like, pagan hymns and stuff, and there's a whole bunch of Yule carols where they appropriate Christmas songs and there's one, Mother Berta is Coming to Town, and it does. It talks about just what you just said. But yeah, she was considered a winter goddess. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Mother Berta is one, and that's Perkta. I just, like, never realized that she went by another name. I've only ever heard Berta, but I did just look it up to verify that.
And then from what I heard also is, like, it was also depending on whether you were, you know, good or bad. When you were good, she came as this, like, beautiful, you know, almost fairy-like.
Enchantress type
thing. Yeah, yeah. But if you were bad, she came as, like, this demonic old crone witch.
It's interesting because the Mother Goose character is based off of her.
Really?
Yes. Remember how we talked about that the goose foot and all kinds of things like that, and that the sacred animal for Berta or Perkta was the goose. And it says she was the original Mother Goose, causing it to snow when she shook out her bedding, and she would weave fates and tales.
Hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have Pierre Foutard.
Fart hard.
His bladder was empty. That's why he peed air.
He peed air and farted hard.
There you go. That's done.
Which is French for father whipper or old man whipper.
You mother father whipper.
Is it like a whippersnapper?
Hey, a little father whipper.
Is a character who accompanies St. Nicholas on his rounds during St. Nicholas Day, which again, the 6th of December, dispensing lumps of coal and or beatings to naughty children while St. Nicholas gives gifts to the well-behaved. He is known mainly in the far north and eastern regions of France, in the south of Belgium, and in French-speaking Switzerland. Although similar characters exist all over Europe, this whipping father was said to bring a whip with him to spank all the naughty children who misbehaved.
You're so very naughty.
So there's also, there's a guy,
the Schwein Gang,
called Schmutzili.
Ah, Schmutzli.
Schmutzli?
Yeah, schmuck.
Schmutzli.
Couldn't find any information on him or her or it or whatever. Necht Ruprecht.
Necht Ruprecht.
Deuce. Du hast sneeze. So,
Necht Ruprecht.
So, according to tradition, Necht Ruprecht asks children whether they can pray. If they can, they receive apples, nuts, and gingerbread.
I would pray all the time if somebody's going to give me some gingerbread.
If they cannot, he hits the children with his bags of ashes.
I would pray all the time if I was getting hit all the time with bags of ashes. Dear God, please make this man stop hitting me with a bag of ashes that he stole from my nanny's ashtray.
How much ashes does it take for it to actually start hurting?
I know. And what kind of ashes? Well, if it's like human ashes, there's bits of bone in there and all kinds of crazy
stuff. Maybe it's ash from the evil dip.
It's literally ash from the evil
dip. I realized how stupid that was while I was saying it, so that's a new for me.
Don't worry, I won't edit it out.
Oh, God.
So he, in other versions of the story, Necht Ruprecht, Rumpelstiltskin, gives naughty children gifts such as lumps of coal, sticks, and stones, while well-behaving children receive sweets from St. Nicholas.
Yeah, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but lumps of coal will never hurt me.
But a bag of ashes will.
Oh, yeah, especially if there's teeth in there. It's just like teeth.
Just ash and teeth.
Yeah, just ash and teeth and bone fragments.
Yeah, fragments of your femur.
And any kidney stones left over.
Yeah. Hit me with them teeth, baby. Place some stank on it.
Teeth bag.
My teeth bag.
honey, you got the teeth bag.
This kid's acting up.
It's hanging on the mantle where it's always.
Go get a switch while I get my teeth bag ready.
Which is where the stockings came from for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Cramp. Krampus. Krampus, yeah.
Necropact.
So, then we also have something called the Rubles. Couldn't find any information on him or her or it. Hans Trapp.
Sounds like a character from Inglourious Basterds.
Mm. Yeah. Little Babushka.
Aw, Little Babushka.
Petzelbach. Klofbach. It sounds Klingon almost.
Oh, yeah.
And Belsnickel.
Belsnickel, we all know that from The Office. That's
yeah.
what...
Yeah, Dwight.
And I'll tell you what, forever and ever and ever, I thought they made that up.
I did too.
And like Kelly, who used to be one of the hosts on here, we were talking about actually doing a full episode on Belsnickel. And Brad's laughing and I'm laughing because Brad loves The Office. I like The Office. And I'm like, why would we do on this? Like, it's from a TV show. And she's like, no, it's not. And yeah. so I looked it up. I was like, oh.
So yeah, so Belsnickel is a man wearing furs and sometimes a mask with a long tongue. Mm-hmm. He is typically very ragged and disheveled.
Mm-hmm.
He wears torn, tattered, and dirty clothes.
I saw Dwight.
Yep.
And he carries a switch in his hand with yep. which to beat naughty children.
Not to turn on and off the lights.
But also...
the switch. It took me a second. I'm there now.
Or to play Mario Kart on?
And that's why you're the best.
Actually, in case y'all wanted to know, I got it right away and just decided to move past it.
And we thank you for that.
We do.
But also pockets full of cakes, candies, and nuts for good children.
What about Hot Pockets? He's got Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets. I got Hot Pockets at a perfect temperature. You were so good this year. I'm the Belsnickel. Bye.
What is going on?
What about holiday pies for McDonald's?
Oh, man, holiday pies.
Oh, they're the only thing I like about Christmas. Not seeing my children or my wife.
Your children? How many do you have?
Who? Not seeing my child, you know, happy face, opening up presents, but those holiday pies, them going in my belly.
Mm-hmm. Especially accidental holiday pies.
Go ahead, sir.
Is that like...
yeah, we're good. Go ahead.
Meat pies?
Yep,
yeah,
exactly.
Holiday meat pies.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that about wraps up the Krampus.
Krampus, yeah, with the exception of just quickly talking about the movies.
Yep.
The biggest and best one came out in 2015,
yes.
simply called Krampus. And I really enjoyed it.
I
rewatched it again recently just for this podcast, and I forgot how much I like it. I mean, it's got a great cast. It's got the dude from Parks and Rec on there, and of course...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. And then Tony Collette's on there. I mean, it's just a great, great cast. I mean, Champ's on there.
Well, they also, I found this interesting too, but one of Krampus's like companions or whatever is called the Window Peeper, and it's actually in that film. I'm not sure which monster it is, though.
Well, and I love it because this was what our favorites were, the black comedies. And so it's kind of hilarious and things like that. Lots and lots of direct-to-video. One of my favorite ones is called A Christmas Horror Story. Have you guys seen this one? I think it's on Netflix. It's got William Shatner in it. It's amazing. And it's anthology, but Krampus is a part of it and stuff like that. But it's so good. William Shatner plays this DJ who's telling these stories at night. And it's a Canadian film, but it's freaking awesome. I highly recommend it.
Does Krampus bring him a Red Rod or a BB gun because he might shoot his eye out?
I don't know. Is he supposed to?
Christmas Story? No.
What's that?
A Christmas Horror.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I really liked how Stefan completely didn't acknowledge what I said about the window peeper.
The thing is I got it right when he said it. I just moved along.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, but there's a little
vindication there.
There's a ton of them.
Most of them bad.
Yeah, most of them direct to video. Like we said, the main one that hit the movie theaters was the one by Universal. They have not done a follow-up to that yet. It looks like the Jim Henson Company has one in production right now called Krampus. Of course, television, they've talked about it on the Colbert Report's Christmas special and things like that, as well as many cartoons. The League it was on, and Supernatural. So, I mean, this thing is everywhere, but like I said, my favorite is just simply Krampus the movie. Yeah. Like, it's...
I don't see how Jim Henson Krampus is going to be scary at all.
Have you not seen the new Dark Crystal? Because it's not... The Muppets and stuff is owned by Disney now. Jim Henson is back to their kind of dark roots. I highly recommend watching the new Dark Crystal TV show. It's one of the best things I've ever seen. But yeah, they're... And if you've ever seen like their Myths and Legends show and stuff like that, they're not afraid to go dark.
Well, I was figuring it was going to be like the big monster from the Muppets
show. Who knows? I mean, it is called Happy Krampus. Yeah. And it's also Walden Media, so we'll see.
Walden Media.
But yeah, lots of books and lots of stuff like that, but that's one that we have talked about covering on our show on Unhappy Campers is Krampus, and we may end up doing that because there's other ones I want to see too. There's like one that came out right before Silent Night, Deadly Night, that was about Santa Claus that we had talked about. I can't remember the name of it. Whatever.
But, sorry.
Who cares?
We talk about a lot of
movies. We talk about a lot. But yeah, so yeah, that's Krampus. So thank you guys so much for coming on. Absolutely just a blast. Real quick, I want to get into our listener story because I know we've been talking a lot, but I want to tell our listener story. This one comes from Kimberly Heck, and it's kind of spooky. So check this out.
So I've lived in the house I'm in now multiple times throughout my life. But when I moved in on March of 2017, things that I cannot explain started happening. It was just my daughter and myself for the first few months. One night, when she was about 6 months old, a toy of hers started going off at around midnight. I didn't think much of it and thought the batteries were probably dying. I went and got her from her room anyways because it freaked me out nonetheless. As we laid back down, cabinets in my kitchen started slamming. I immediately jumped up and left the house with my daughter. There was a crucifix thrown off my wall at 4 a.m. one night. There has been a sound of someone walking in our attic that my now husband has even witnessed. But the most recent thing is this. I told my husband that we were expecting, and as soon as the words left my mouth, my daughter's piggy bank fell from a 4-foot shelf bookshelf and shattered. My daughter was not home at the time, and we were on the other end of the house. There have been videos of things I have found on my phone that were taken at 4:48 a.m., and I was not the one taking them. I didn't even know they existed until I was scrolling through my phone a month later. These are just a few of the bigger things we've witnessed. I should probably add that this house was my grandfather's house who passed away when I was 3. You know, we always just put it off to being him, but it's still very odd.
So yeah, I mean, she's got stuff falling off the shelf. But the thing that gets me is the video at 4:48, like multiple videos at 4:48. Yeah,
right.
Like, that's the creepiest.
Like, why would it be your grandpa or the person that passed
away?
Like,
Grampus. Yeah. Your Grampus.
Well, he even know how to work the camera on her phone.
That's exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
Even from the grave, he's like, can you help me?
Where's my flip phone?
Always just hitting buttons. He doesn't know taking pictures.
When you were first reading it, I was thinking, you know, because, you know, the thing about the toy coming on, I was like thinking, lady, that is a small child's toy at 3 o'clock. They do that. But then it went right to
the piggy bank falling off the shelf.
I was like, oh, God.
There's just a lot of stuff. But yeah, that's our listener story. You guys can send in your listener stories to us at fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. Send those to us at any time or find us online at fearscapepod on Instagram or Twitter or even Facebook. But we got to get out of here, guys. So real quick, guys, tell them where they can find you guys in the world and on podcast land.
Well, I am Improv 502. Anytime we're performing, go to improv502.com. Please do. We're killing it right now. We have some great things coming up in 2020. And we also have an Unhappy Campers podcast, which is phenomenal. Lance?
Everything Ben just said.
Yeah, we do. Unhappy Campers I'm a part of as well. It's a lot of fun. We just had Cindy Snow on doing our Christmas episode there with Black Christmas from 1974.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. You can check that out on DestinationComics.com. fearscape.com/DNN. Unhappy Campers is there, as well as Fearscape. But we got to go because it's past time.
Yep.
But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Have a scary Christmas, everybody.
Happy Krampus.
Lance, take pictures of your birch whips on your back because we want to see that. Because you're the only one that's getting in trouble this year.
That's true.
What? I've been very...
Keep saying how much you hate Christmas.
Oh. Well, no, me and Krampus, we're friends.
Okay, whatever.
He carries me around in his little bag.
That's your mom.
What?
Yep. Okay.
No, Krampus is real. My mom told me so.
Anyways.
Mom.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We loved having you guys on. And we got to get out of here too, Josh. So this has been Stefan. I'll catch you on the flip side.
This is Josh. The truth is out there.
And remember to hold those blankets extra tight, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Scary Christmas!